This is the Rambam part 4, Igeret Teiman and Igeret Chiyat HaMetim. In our last session, we discussed the Rambam as living in Egypt, having written the Mishneh Torah, the Code of Jewish Law. At the age of 37, when the Rambam, in 1172, the Rambam writes Igeret Teiman, a letter to the Jews in Yemen who were suffering the torment of forced conversion. This is one of the Rambam's best known writings and it endeared him to the Yemenite Jews forever. What is the background to this letter? Now, as a result of the Almohad invasion of North Africa, many Jews fled to Yemen. But in 1172, the Shiites, who were more intolerant of other faiths than the Sunnis, seized power, and they resolved to wipe out the Jews if they did not convert to the Shiite form of Islam, and many Jews converted to Islam. Now, at about this time, Shmuel ibn Abbas of Fez denigrated Jewish teaching and shook up the religious condition of the Jews. In a book entitled Silencing the Jews, Shmuel ibn Abbas tells about two dreams that he allegedly had. In the first, the Prophet Muhammad shows him several biblical verses that refer to the coming of Muhammad. And in the second dream, he actually has a conversation with Muhammad, and the dreams prompted him to go to a Muslim friend and inform him that he was converting to Islam, and he acts as a missionary among the Jews of Yemen. Additionally, one day a man from the people came forth and proclaimed that the time of salvation was near. He announced that the King Messiah, the Melech HaMashiach, will reveal himself first in Yemen, and he cited Rav Sadia Gaon, who had computed the year of salvation, to being that year. So you have these three events, this new Shiite leadership, this apostate, and this messianic pretender, and the people of Yemen do not know how to respond. Now, merchants from Egypt arriving in Yemen were told about the wisdom of some man, some great scholar living in Egypt named Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, who perhaps can help them. So Yaakov al-Fayumi sends a letter to the Rambam to ask for guidance. And then the Rambam writes a letter back, and that is called Igeret Teiman, the letter for Yemen. And the Rambam first deals with the issue of the apostasy. The Rambam writes that the Yishma'elim atzmam einam maminim barayos elu. The Yishma'elim, the Muslims, there's an assumption that the Muslims are spiritual descendants of Yishmael, the son of Avraham. And this apostate claimed that some of the psukim in the Torah hint to the future greatness of the Yishma'elim. For example, God says that he's going to make Yishmael into a great nation. And this apostate said that, oh, it means he's going to be gadol in Torah and prophecy and he's going to be a spiritual leader. And the Rambam says, nah, even the Yishmaelim themselves don't believe in these proofs. That's not true. That's not what it means. Goy gadol does not necessarily mean in spirituality. In fact, in Devarim Perek Dalad Pasuk Lamaches, the nations of Eretz Canaan are called Goyim Gedolim Vatsumim, great and mighty nations. That has to do with their physical prowess, nothing to do with their spirituality. Additionally, when the Torah states, V'hirbesi b'ma'od ma'od, so this apostate wanted to say, this is about Yishmael, that I'm going to make him great, b'ma'od ma'od, that's a code word for Muhammad. The Rambam writes, no, maybe had the Torah said, Uve Rachtiv b'ma'od ma'od, I'm going to bless him with ma'od ma'od, so maybe you say that's some code word for someone. But v'herbesi b'ma'od ma'od simply means, I will make him very, very numerous. So the Rambam points out that even the Muslims don't believe that the Torah hints to Muhammad. But what they do is they claim, or what he's claiming is that we corrupted the text. For example, instead of Yitzchak being subject to the Akedah, there was really Yishmael. And because they can't really claim from, they can't really make a strong argument from our version, which we believe is the real version of the Torah, that there's any hint to Islam. So they said that we corrupted the text. And this is a major difference between Islam and Christianity. The Christians, believe that our text is authentic. They just use certain verses and they interpret those verses to prove the birth of a Messiah named Jesus, and he's going to be someone from a woman who is a virgin, etc., etc. They don't assert that the text of our Torah was changed by us, was corrupted. So they use the simple reading of the text and they provide perverse interpretations to prove their point. The Muslims could not even do that. So therefore, they claim that we corrupted the text. And the Rambam points out that this claim that the present text of the Bible has been adulterated by the Jews is nonsense, because even before Islam, the Bible was translated into multiple languages, and there was no deviation at all. Regarding messianic beliefs, regarding the fact that, according to Rav Sadia Gaon's calculation, the Messiah should be coming soon, the Rambam writes, and he cites the verse in Daniel, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Tes, Kistumim v'chatumim hadvarim ad eis ketz, that these words are hidden and sealed. And nobody really knows. He cites another pasuk from Daniel saying that basically there are a lot of different opinions of what will be, but nobody really knows. And he urged the Yemenite Jews to purge their thoughts of astrology, which is used to calculate the end. He said that that which you write about this person who said he's the Mashiach. Listen, I wasn't astonished from those who believed in him. He's clearly the crazy person. Probably was affected by some sickness, so that's why he claims he's the Messiah. V'chein eni tamamin hamaminim bo mikotzer rucham v'sheinam yodim makom ha-mashiach u'malasol gdula sheyala shelo bedatom hazeh. I don't blame, I'm not astonished by the believers who don't really understand the place of the Messiah. Aval ani tamamim chab, I'm astonished by you, she'atam ibnei Torah, that you're a ben Torah. How can you believe, don't you know, that the Mashiach will be a great Navi, then greater than all the Nevi'im except for Moshe Rabbeinu? Don't you know that someone who says that he's a Navi, and if he's found to be not to be a Navi, then he's Chayav Misa? Just because this person has some wisdom, this person is a nice, sweet guy. He has a nice midos. You think therefore he's the Mashiach? So the Rambam says that, you know, we'll know when the Mashiach comes. But the echut, he says, echut amidat haMashiach ve'ez makom yirah b'tchilas yirah be'Eretz Yisrael. First, the Mashiach is going to appear in Eretz Yisrael. This guy's in Yemen. He's not the Mashiach. And what's fascinating is that the Rambam cites the Gemara in Ksuvos, or the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim that the Gemara in Ksuvos uses, that Satmar quotes, for the reason why we shouldn't have a state of Israel. Mm-hmm. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim basically, Hishpati Eschem Benos Yushalayim, I make you swear, the daughters of Yerushalayim, that you should not awaken the love until it's desired. And this means that we should wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take us out of exile. And don't rush right now and assume that now is the Yemos HaMashiach. Again, this was used by the Satmar Rav to say that we shouldn't start a state of Israel because we made an oath that we're not going to rebel against the other nations. We're not going to try to bring about Mashiach. We're waiting for Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring about the Mashiach. And again, there are responses to this. to this challenge of Satmar. But what's interesting is that the Rambam actually uses this pasuk and the way the Gemara and Ksuvos uses it to encourage the people of Yemen not to believe that necessarily that this person is a Mashiach. The Rambam essentially writes at the end of his letter that he has every reason to fear that the Muslims might get hold of his letter, and it might be misconstrued, but he wanted the masses to read his letter and give them hope. He said, "We must be satisfied to endure all suffering and exile and insult, for all these things are an honor that Hashem shows us." And he writes that just as it is unthinkable that God's existence should end, so too it's unthinkable that we should cease and vanish. Have faith, be strong, have courage. This too shall pass. The present day afflictions are not sufferings, but preliminary pains announcing the Messianic kingdom. But don't believe this Messianic pretender. But don't worry, this is Kadosh Baruch Hu will redeem us soon. And this letter brought tremendous clarity and comfort to the people of Yemen. They're able to reject this apostate. They rejected this Messianic pretender, and they remained faithful despite the pressure from the Shiite leadership. Another very important letter that the Rambam wrote was the Geret Chiyat HaMetim, the letter about the resurrection of the dead. Now, an orator in Damascus expressed the view that physical resurrection, a return of the soul to the body after death had separated them, would never take place. And who did he cite as his source? The Rambam's Mishneh Torah, as evidence that the ultimate purpose of man was life in the future world, but such life would be non-corporeal. And in fact, what does the Rambam write in Hilchos Tshuva, Perches, Halacha Beis? Ha'olam haba, the next world, ein bo guf u'gvia, there's going to be no bodies, nothing physical, nothing corporeal, el nefashos ha'tzadikim bilvad below guf k'malachi ha'shares, but it will just be the souls of the righteous without a body, like the angels. Ho'el ve'ein bo guvios, since there will be no bodies, ein bo lo achila, below shtia, below davar mikol advarim shagufos, but adam tzrichim lohem ba'olam hazeh. There will be no eating or drinking or nothing from all the things that people need in this world. V'lo yera davar min hadbo min hadvarim shema'arin lagufos b'lam hazeh. And nothing will happen among those things that happen to bodies in this world. Kigon yeshiva v'amida v'sheno misa v'esev v'tzchok chayotzi b'ham. There will be no sitting or standing and sleeping and death, etc., etc. I'm right, in olam haba, we're going to have nothing physical. And the Ravid himself writes, Amar Avram, Divrei ha'ish hazeh be'einai krovim l'misha omar ein tchiyas ha'mesim l'gufos elo l'neshamas bovad. Seems to me that the words of this man seem very close to saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead for bodies, but only for souls. After all, the Rambam here writes, in olam haba, in the next world, there will be no bodies. Nothing physical. He says, that can't be. And the Ravid says, there are Gemara and Ksuvos sites that there will be a physical resurrection of the dead. Now, the Rambam had to clarify his stance. And what's interesting is the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayos, in his to Mesechah Sanherin Perik Yud, in his commentary on the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin, where he lists many philosophical points, among them the Yud Gimel Ikarim Shalmuna, the 13 principles of faith, the Rambam writes, Utchias Amesim Yesod Miyasodos Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, resurrection of the dead is one of the foundational principles of the Torah of Moshe. Ein Daz Vein Kesher Im Ha'uma HaYehudis Mi She'eino Mamin Mekach. There's no connection with the Jewish nation if you don't believe in this. So the Rambam clearly writes in his commentary to the Mishnah that there is something called the resurrection of the dead. So the Rambam dismissed what this orator in Damascus said, but many Jews in Yemen spread this belief They confused resurrection of the dead with the nature of the afterlife. In other words, when the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perachas Halacha Beis writes that Olam Haba Ein Bo Guf Ugviya, there's nothing physical in Olam Haba, that's not referring to the Messianic world. That's referring to the world we go when we die. The truth is, this is a major machlokes between, a major debate between the Rambam and the Ramban. This is based on a Gemara where Rav writes that in the Olam Haba, in the world to come, there will be no physicality. And there will be no eating or no need to eat or drink. And the Ramban understands this to be in the Messianic era. The Ramban believes that there will be physical bodies, but we're not going to need to eat or drink. We're not going to need to do normal physical things. Whereas the Rambam writes that this passage by Rav is actually referring to where we go when we die. But people misconstrued the Rambam's halacha and thought that, no, the Rambam is saying that Olam Haba, in the Messianic world, there's going to be nothing physical. So there's no real Tchias HaMesim in the physical sense. So the Rambam was asked to take a precise stand on the issue of the resurrection. And so he wrote a letter, Igeres Tchias HaMesim. This treatise has four parts. So number one, he insisted that he always regarded resurrection of the dead as a fundamental belief. Number two, the Rambam discussed the reactions to the Mishneh Torah, which was the main target of his critics. Number three, the Rambam added comments on two new questions. Why did some psukim in the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, the prophets and the resurrection, deny resurrection? So you have to deal with that. Or they seem to deny resurrection. And also, why was resurrection not written in the Torah? And to this comment, and why is it not mentioned in the Torah? The Rambam writes that for your average Jew in biblical times, so for them to talk about something in the future, that was not something that would be so compelling for them as a reason to observe the Torah and mitzvos. The Rambam writes in Igeret Tchias HaMesim, V'yadua, and it's known, Shanashim Sheratza Shem Yisparach Shetira Torah B'imehem, Hishyashuhem Deos Nifsadot Ma'od. The people in the time of the Torah, they didn't have such strong understandings. V'yadahu Yisparach Shem Yomar Lahem Chidush Tchias HaMesim. If God would start telling you about resurrection of the dead, Hayatzam Nimna V'yurchaku Menim Ma'od, they'd sort of distance themselves in this belief. V'yam Hayu Averos Kalos Pedeim, and sins would be very light in their eyes. Why? Achar sha'ora shaleim, achar zman aruch. Because they're going to say, okay, I'll sin now, the punishment will be much, much, much later. Right? The days of Tanakh, you sin, you got punished. You did a mitzvah, you're rewarded. Right? Everything was right away. Cause and effect. Nowadays, it's not like that. But back then, it was. So therefore, it made more sense to write about reward and punishment in this world as opposed to in the next world. That's what the Rambam writes. And the Rambam's intended audience for this Igeret Tchias HaMesim was the general public, not the intellectual elite. So these were two very important letters that the Rambam wrote. The first, to calm a situation that developed in Yemen. And the second, to clarify his position on a major philosophical position, a major principle of faith of Tchias HaMesim that needed to be clarified because some people in his generation were misinterpreting him.